Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We've been talking this week about the needs that children have and also needs that parents have, needs that can only be satisfied in the home. We noticed yesterday five basic needs that parents have, and want to notice, time permitting today, five more needs that parents have. But in a lighter sort of way, someone sent me this. Says you spend the first 2 years of your child's life teaching them to walk and to talk. Then you spend the next 16 years telling them to sit down and shut up. Or another said, cleaning your house while your kids are still growing is like cleaning the driveway before it has stopped snowing. And another said, the main purpose of holding parties for your children is to remind yourself that there are children more awful than yours are. And then the last one, be nice to your kids. They're the ones that have picked your nursing home. Well, parents do have needs, and they have needs from their children. And I suggest today, number six in our list, is that children need communication with their children. Unless parents and children are able to communicate with each other, there's little chance for understanding. And this thing about a generation gap, I don't buy anymore. We've been hearing about that for years. But there's ways to keep communication open with our children. And one of the best protections that a family can have is for those lines of communication between parents and child to be kept open. And young people that might be listening, give your parents a chance. Talk with them about the things that are important to you. Ask their advice on problems you're struggling with. Let them know that you want to be able to talk with them and that you are interested in doing what is right in the sight of God and in the sight of your parents. And parents, take time to listen to your children. Don't hang up on your child. Keep the lines of communication open. And when that son or that daughter wants to talk with you, you drop everything that's going on and you give them the ear and let them know that you are you consider them and their problems to be very important and that you're ready to listen. And if they make a statement or they make a request that's immature and foolish and ridiculous, don't laugh at them. You only have to do that one time, and then any hope for future communication is gone. Take the time necessary to help your child to see the situation in its right perspective. Bring the factors which they probably haven't considered to their attention. They just haven't had the experiences which are necessary to make mature decisions and help them to maturity. Don't force them to remain immature because their problems aren't important to you or because they may seem foolish to you or because your job or your work or your interests are more important than theirs. Their problems are very real, and they must have some sound advice and some mature judgment. And if you refuse to communicate that advice and that judgment, don't you share a major part of the blame for that child's mistakes, which are based upon their immature judgments? So parents need to communicate with their children. Number seven, parents need remembrances from their children. Parents need to know that they are appreciated, and that their children are grateful for what they are trying to do for them. And young people, it's easy to take all these things for granted and never stop to say, thank you for everything you're doing for me, or I love you. Don't just say, well, they know I love them anyway, and they know I appreciate it. But would it hurt to tell them, to let them know in just so many words? Solomon said in chapter 31, verse 28, that the children of a worthy woman would rise up and call her blessed. How many parents in our generation have unworthy children who've never taken the time to say, I love you, to say thank you? Those are magic words to parents. Use them to your parents and see if the results aren't magical when you try that. Well, number eight, parents need cooperation from their children and need to cooperate with their children if they're going to have a successful home. Listen to the story of a father and his two sons. A man had two sons, He came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second son and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and did not go. You'll find that in Matthew 21, verse 28 down through verse 30. And that story was used by Jesus to teach a lesson about the kingdom. But the story itself teaches a lesson about the subject under consideration, about cooperation. Here was a father with two sons and work that needed to be done. One of the sons balked at first, but later realized how wrong he had been. And then he went and did the work that his father requested of him. The other son was ready and willing and able and told the father that, I'll go work. Maybe just want to get the father off his back. But sure, I'm on my way, maybe he said. But he never went to the vineyard. He never did his share of the work. Well, in every modern home, there are usually certain responsibilities that each child is assigned to do. Some children, like the first son, maybe balk at first. They'd rather not do it. They may fuss a little about it. But then they're mature enough to accept the responsibility to cooperate with their parents in doing the things necessary in that home. So while he'd rather maybe sleep in, maybe listen to whatever happens to be called music of the day, but he takes the trash out, maybe he cleans the garage, or he does what he's been asked to do. Then there are children like the second son that make all kinds of promises. Well, just as soon as this program is over, or just as soon as this is done, let me play one more video game, but they never have any intention of doing their share of the work. Parents have every right to expect children to cooperate in doing their part around the house. A successful home is everybody's responsibility in that home. Well, number 9, parents need love from their children. The home is the oldest, and it's a divine institution. It was ordained of God for the happiness and the well-being of man. God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, so he said, I'll make thee a helpmate for thee. And so he caused the man to go to sleep. He took a rib from his side, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and from that rib he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And man said, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. And it wasn't long until children blessed that home. Well, parents must love each other and love their children. But love must also be expressed from child to parent. Little children like to sit in their parents' laps, to hug them, maybe kiss them. And it's very obvious expression that this child's love for his parent is real. But when the child becomes a teenager, he seems to think that, well, that's not the thing to do, to show affection to my parents. That's just not the cool thing, or whatever the proper word is in this day and time. So for all practical purposes, the child may try to keep it a secret that he loves his father and that his mother. That child is starving his parents to death. That parents need to know that their children love them. And children should be happy to let them know. And then parents need to keep reaffirming and reminding the child that they're loved. Of course, when they're teenagers, they're too big to sit in their father's lap or their mother's lap. But there's an embrace that can be given. And there are other ways of telling the parents that you love them. You aren't expected to act like a 3-year-old any longer. But when Mother's birthday comes around, sacrifice some things and do some things that would be nice for her. Certainly remember with a card. And then if you happen to know your parents' anniversary, remember them and express appreciation and buy them a card. Then when you're older, there are other things that can be done to express the love and the appreciation that you have for your parents. And then we come to number 10 in our list. 5 we looked at yesterday, these 5 today. Number 10, parents may need personal care in their later years. Children are exhorted to learn first to show piety towards their family, to requite their parents. This is acceptable in the sight of God. We learn from 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. No child will ever do too much toward caring for his parents. But some children are so ungrateful that they assume no responsibility whatsoever for their parents' welfare. And no amount of hypocritical religion can make up for this kind of neglect. The Pharisees in Jesus' day taught that a gift to the temple was more acceptable to God than relieving their poor parents. But Christ shot that idea down when he said, "You, by your traditions, have made void the word of God," Matthew 15, verse 6. Now, men can void their religion today by refusing their obligation to care for their parents. They cared for us when we were helpless, when we were children, and we need to take care of our parents in their old age. It'd be hard to imagine a sin greater than the sin of ingratitude toward one's parents. Well, we've looked at 10 basic needs of parents that have to do with their children, and all of these can be satisfied in the home. If we do not take these needs seriously enough to try to satisfy them, our homes cannot possibly be successful homes and happy homes. I believe that you can see the wisdom of God in providing the home as the primary institution for satisfying these needs. The 10 needs of children are provided for by parents, and the needs of parents are provided by their children. Humans could not possibly have designed a perfect institution as the home. It's God ordained. And only God could have created that perfect arrangement. And when we seek to make our homes patterned after the will of God, we'll have a foretaste of heaven even here on earth.